He was, we mentioned this morning about the Gurukul boys singing Gita Gan, and Murari Hari was teaching them music at that time. He was also doing the 24-hour kirtan in the Lotus Building. Well, that was when the Lotus Building was all there was in Mayapur. So if you'd like to tell us a few stories, Murari Hari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschattade Sutarine. So I'm really very gladful to be here in this evening. Actually, I have no capacity to say so many things, but in my memory, something is coming up in this regard to say about something, Prabhupada Disappearance Day. It is a very important day, of course, for us, for everyone too. So, I am trying to remember some previous story. Actually, Prabhu mentioned that I was doing the 24 hours kirtan. That time, a different kind of management was going on, and Nitaichat Maharaj was very top leader in this place. He was a vice president, of course, but he was acting as a president, and his management was really tough, and we were under control of him. At that time, actually I had great desire to go to Vrindavan. I heard so many things about Vrindavan, but that was first time of my life. So I had great desire to go to Vrindavan. So what I did, I compromised with my associates of day kirtan. So we were thinking maybe we should approach to Bhavananda Maharaj. At that time he was Maharaj and he was a leader too. And he loves me so much, so maybe I should go to him. Or I said, oh, come on, you have no power to go Bhavananda Maharaj, approach for these things. Oh, come on. No, you don't go there. So we are planning to, then what to do? How we can, you know, be success to go to, you know, Vrindavan? And actually, I heard Prabhupada is going to go there also. No, Prabhupada was there at that time. Haribol. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Then we were also thinking maybe we can convince to Nitai Chand Maharaj, maybe he will give us permission to go. Yeah, but at that time also we are also thinking, hey, who is going to run this day kirtan in this temple? So somehow or other we cannot make our mind. Then we thought, okay, maybe we can do one thing. Somebody can buy our ticket and we can run away from here. We just plan, after 3 days maybe we are going to go run away from this temple to Vrindavan. So within the day, actually, Bhavananda Maharaj was coming with one small paper. That was the telegram. At that time it was telegram system. Telegram. And he said, hey, kirtan people, look, hey, Murari Hari, you should get ready to go to Vrindavan because Guru Maharaj is very sick and he was calling you people. You have to chant for Guru Maharaj, okay? we were really shocked because how he knew that we have to go to Vrindavan, and anyway, maybe he understood our secret plan. Anyway, so if Guru Maharaj is calling us, so that means we are okay. Though we had our secret plan to run away from this temple, but still it is going to be okay. So we packed up, and then we got ticket, we got train, and we are on time, we are on the right place. We just arrived there, and Bhaktacharya Swami, he just was completed the feed Prabhupada and leftover full plate of prasadam. And our plan, just to go see Guru Maharaj first, then we will do something else. And we just went there, and then Bhaktacharya Maharaj said, "Hey boys, you came here, okay, you must be hungry, okay? So get the leaflet from there, and just sit next to the baranda, okay? And actually, I'm not going to serve you. Some of you just come up and serve. Don't make a contaminate. This is Prabhupada's plate, okay?" So actually, we were really hungry at that time, because in the train, we cannot take anything, We were bringing some green coconut called dab and some misri, whatever, because we are going to see the sick people, sick person, that's our customs, So according to our custom, we brought something, but the dab, 3 days, raving, becoming, is little blacky type, So anyway, but we gave it to him. We said, "Maharaj, we brought something for Prabhupada, so if you kindly allow us to put it in." He said, okay, put it in this room, on this corner, okay. And immediately you just take prasadam, okay? But don't contaminate this plate. Prabhupada is so merciful for his disciple, and he knew our plan. Actually, he's... therefore, we can understand the Acharya, past, present, and future, everything well known, He knew there, from there, what is going on here in Mayapur, what was going on in Bombay, wherever, So according to the situation, he was sending his mercy to the perfect person. And that way, his mercy was distributed to us. Okay, another thing, I have only 10 minutes, so I'm going to say something about our kirtan duty. When I approached Prabhupada, actually Bhavananda Maharaj was taking me to Prabhupada, and I had also great desire to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada just came from USA, and he was, I was thinking maybe he was tired or something. But I had great desire to see him, take his darshan. Somehow, Bhavananda Prabhu, now is his Prabhu at that time, Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj came. He said, "Hey, Murari Hari, Prabhupada want to see you. You want to see Prabhupada?" I said, "Yes, Maharaj." So immediately, I just, went with him to Prabhupada's room. And Harishari Prabhu was shaving his head, and Prabhupada was, I think, he was putting some short cloth or something. Gamcha, at that time. But my heart was really pumping very fast because I don't know what Prabhupada is going to say or something, He said, I said my name and everything. And then he said, "So what? Oh, you are singing in the temple, right?" I said, "Yes, Guru Maharaj." So, okay, all right, you do this, and that is actually your duty. You know, you should do always. But, you know, you can do one thing. You can also teach same music to the Gurukula. Hey, Bhavananda, take him and put him in the Gurukula as a music teacher. Immediately I said, Guru Maharaj, actually I have not so much fond of music in my heart, so I am not able to... Well, come on, I said, you go. And whenever you feel shortage, you think about my order. I give you order to go. And even today, what I was singing, the second melody, I never sung before. When I pray Prabhupada Pranam and I, you know, start to chant, always I get something new. Something new. And Prabhupada actually very much appreciate for that. I was singing at that time, morning, you know, afternoon, you know, whenever. That time singer was very, very, you know, few, not many. And I was also playing mridanga like 2-3 hours, you know, banging, banging, and all my god brothers, they want to, you know, sing, and I have to play the mridanga for them. And that time was so nice day. And from that time, actually, I went to the Gurukula. I started to teach. And even all my students, you know, they are singing much better than me even. They know much more music than me. And how come, you know? So it is going on like that. Even they are also teachers these days. They are also teaching. So that way Prabhupada mercy distributed to the, you know, Prabhupada disciples, even grand disciples and great-grand disciples also. I see many of the Prabhupada grand disciples, they are so great singers. So that way, oh, other thing, little thing I just complete and then go. Prabhupada would not like people will sing with their false ego, ahankar. Sometime he was singing Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari and closing eyes, and I was playing mridanga next to him, and Nitai Chand Maharaj also, he was a good mridanga player. And I think Shambhu was player also. You know the black Shambhu? Black boy, Shambhu. Yeah, Shambhu was playing mridanga too. He was very shy. He never come to, you know, in front of Prabhupada. But I have to come because nobody is there. I have to play mridanga. And sometime I make mistake because my false ego was making, you know, so many flowery beats. And he Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihar, like that, you know. When he was looking at me like that, at that time my heart was, you know, heartbeat was really fast. So that time I understood, my God, I make a big mistake. Maybe Prabhupada is going to say something more than, maybe he's going to chastise me. So whenever people sing, even they think Prabhupada is not there, actually Prabhupada is there and Krishna is there. So we should, even today I have, of course, false ego with my heart. So we should try to, you know, just be away from the false ego. Actually, in front of the Krishna we are singing, in front of Guru Maharaj we are singing, they have, you know, plenty, you know, unlimited ability. So in front of them we are singing, so they allow me to sing, allow us to sing because of their causeless mercy. So that's why we have to be careful in front of the deity, in front of Prabhupada, in front of the Vaishnavas when we, you know, play and sing like that. And little more thing, I just, you know, pray to all the devotees, all the Prabhupada disciples, grand disciples, great grand disciples, and even those people are going to come and join ISKCON, even to the outsiders too, that Prabhupada lecture was playing, Prabhupada's song was playing when we just joined here. We saw the top of the top of this main building was two loudspeakers there, and always every evening, Krishna Kirtana Gana Natana Parau Premam Bunidhi. Prabhupada was singing, and I was really attracted with this kind of, you know, melody and song. So I was trying to, you know, inquire, you know, who is singing that song. So day by day I understood, oh, this is Prabhupada's voice, people said. Then how much ability he have, how much love for Krishna, love of God he has, then he can, you know, sing that way. So if we have really attachment, really strong eagerness to hear Prabhupada's song and Prabhupada's lecture, one day we'll be able to understand, you know, a real position of our constitutional position, right? So, of course, I do every day morning puja in home. Sometimes I can't come to Guru Puja in that time because I'm late. So I do my puja in home. At that time, I just play Prabhupada lecture. I just hear, I enjoy, and I do the puja. So, of course, everybody very eager to do that. I don't have to request again. Everybody is doing. But I think sometime, you know, we should be more eager to hear Prabhupada lecture or Prabhupada songs. You know, that way, I finish my talk here because many of the people are going to give wonderful lecture, and I'm going to really, really enjoy with that. So that's why I'm finishing here. I said, please, everybody, we can chant Hare Krishna one time. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki! Jai!
Thank you very much, Murari Hari Prabhu. Now we'd like to ask Sriman Suraswara Prabhu. He joined in Boston in the summer of 1970. That was when the BBT Press was just getting set up there. Later on, although he didn't do anything with the BBT at that time, although one little story he told me just now he might repeat to you about the Krishna book. But later on he became quite well known throughout ISKCON for the many articles that he's written in the Back to Godhead magazine. So without further ado, Suraswara Prabhu.
Om Ajnana Tibirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena sasmai sri gurave namaha. Knock, knock. I told Raj Rajendranandana Prabhu that if I start to cry, you make me laugh, and that breaks the tears. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living, still and sound, the Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. I had something planned to say, but hearing these offerings it changes you. It changes everything. There is one specific offering that Mother Ragatmika made. Where is she? Anyway, she was right there. But that just changed everything. So sometimes you hear Prabhupada say in the recording, Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.
Prakat, aprakat. There is no difference.
Prakat means manifest, and aprakat is Bengali accent, is unmanifest. So hearing these offerings this morning, can we doubt? Is there any doubt that Prabhupada is here? He's fully present here. He's right here. Even though his vapu has disappeared, he's so obviously present. So I'd like to tell you a little story of how I came to realize his presence. The date is November 14th, 1977. We all know that date. That date found me 35,000 feet in the air. I had just heard the news that Srila Prabhupada had left this world. I was in Berkeley, California, and I was flying back to Laguna Beach, where I was indexing a fourth canto reprint, Bhagavatam. So can you imagine? I just got the news. I stepped on the plane, and I'm looking down at the earth, 35,000 feet up from the earth, meditating on the fact that Srila Prabhupada has just left this earth. And all I could think of was, Yugaitang nimeshina chakshusha pravishaitang shunyaitang jagatsarvam govinda virahe name. Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, and tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. Shunya itang. I am feeling all vacant, shunya, in this world, in your absence. So I was looking at the earth, 35,000 feet below me, and thinking that this place is useless, it's barren, it's empty, it's void. As Prabhupada has left this world, what to do? But then I landed at Orange County Airport. I was picked up by a devotee and ushered back to the Laguna Beach Temple. And there I entered a roaring kirtan. It was bittersweet, to be sure, but Prabhupada was so obviously present in that kirtan. He'd left, but he hadn't left. He'd left us our physical vision, but he'd mystically, magically entered into all of our hearts to such an extent that even the least of us could realize that we all have equal access to his mercy. How many people are in this world who, like Harishari Prabhu or Shutakirti or his servants, secretaries, only a handful had that kind of access. But we all have equal access to his mercy. Tellingly, significantly, Prabhupada dedicates the whole Bhagavatam to his spiritual master. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. 8 days ago, I had a dramatic reminder of how a follower lives with Srila Prabhupada. I have a dear god sister, and she was referred to this morning by Ragatmaka Mataji, and her name is Rasagya Devi Dasi. And Ragatmaka told how Rasagya got a message through a god sister that Prabhupada sent a message saying, "Thank you for warming my clothes." Do you remember this anecdote? Yes. She had been ironing the clothes in the cold climate in Spain, and Prabhupada sent the message, "Thank you for warming my clothes." So a couple of weeks ago, I got devastating news from my god sister in Hawaii, where I stay. Her name is Kusha Mataji. And she said, You know, Rasa Gya is leaving this world. Rasa Gya, that great actress, that great noble lady, is leaving this world. And she's just with her sister, and her sister is not, strictly speaking, a devotee. And, you know, she remarried after she very compassionately took her first husband years ago, Loe Taksha Prabhu, another great actor, to Vrindavan when he was passing. But now she's in Texas and she has no strength to go to Vrindavan. So I offered, Kushi was telling me on the phone, I offered Rasagya, I have an apartment. It's gorgeous. It's in the MVT. You can have a nurse. You can have a cook. You can have a masseuse and an Ayurvedic physician. Go there, even at the airport. And they're so paranoid now at the airport, you know, about H1N1, so-called swine flu. You have to fill out this form. So what to speak if you show up at the airport with the symptoms of cancer, advanced stages of cancer. They won't let you in. But I have a man who can usher you through the airport. Don't worry. But Rasa Gya replied, I'm too weak. I cannot get on an airplane. So I said, Kusha, you give me Rasa Gya's phone number. I want to call her. So... So I called the 512 exchange down to Texas, and I got a lady on the phone who had a little bit of a German accent. Rasa Gya was born in Germany, and it was her sister, Minnie. I said, oh, Minnie, can I speak with your sister, Rasa Gya? Well, she's in the shower, and she's very weak. Well, my name is Sureshwara Das. I'm her godbrother. I had the privilege of hosting her and her husband in 1988 at Gitanagari, and where she and her husband performed Kunti and Radheya. You've seen Kunti and Radheya here in the auditorium with Advaita Chandra's wife playing Kunti, and there was a young fellow playing Radheya. Very wonderful performance. But I have to say, there was nothing like seeing Rasa Gya and Loe Taksha perform Kunti and Radheya. Very pitiful scene, you know, from the Mahabharata, when Kunti reveals to Karna who he is. And Rasa Gya could bring you to the depths of emotions. Knock, knock. Something about a cow? Thank you. Okay, so... So I said, Minnie, I know you love your sister dearly, and Greg, her second husband, loves her, but I suspect there may be a difference of opinion about what to do now that Rasa Gya is in the advanced stages of uterine cancer and is about to leave this world. And Minnie immediately said, difference of opinion? No. Who is spreading this? I want to make it perfectly clear that I and Greg are here to serve Rasa Gya's wishes. Whew, that's great news. So what are her wishes? You know, I was so foolish. I said, you know what I wish? I wish she would just go to Vrindavan and let Krishna decide what he wants her to do, to go or to stay. And Minnie said, there's no question of her getting on a plane. She can barely get to the bathroom to take a shower. She's too weak. But let me tell you, Sureshwara, what Rasa Gya told me. Now you heard Rugatmaka say that Prabhupada got a message to her through a god sister, right? Thank you for warming my clothes. So Minnie said, Rasa Gya told me that Prabhupada came to her and said, don't worry about going to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is in your heart. So that is a dramatic example for me, because I know a little Rasa Gya. But even more palpable for you all is you're meeting Prabhupada in sound right here. There's no difference. There's no difference. Not one bit of difference. So this is the good news. Whenever people tell me, "Oh, you're so lucky, Sureshwara, you saw Prabhupada, you met Prabhupada." I say, "Yes, I was lucky, but you have the same opportunity to meet Prabhupada spiritually. I saw him physically, but I still have to grow so that I can meet him spiritually someday." So, we're all very lucky. We're all different generations of Prabhupada Anugas. But we all have that opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada in sound and spirit and person the more we follow the life that he gave us. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sureshwara Prabhu. I'm very happy to hear that last little story about Rasagya, because we'd heard the same thing, that she was somehow or another separated. Actually, for a devotee, there's never any question of being separated from Srila Prabhupada. We've seen that many times, and this is yet another example of how Prabhupada is always there with us, whether we remember it or not. Now I'd like to ask another godbrother of ours, Sriman Janakaraj Prabhu. He's a bit shy, but he's just come to join us here in India. He joined in 1972 in London, and he's working with me now in this new Bhaktivedanta Research Center in Calcutta. And this morning he didn't want to speak, but he became so inspired by hearing all the nice offerings that he told me this afternoon that he decided he would speak after all.
Hare Krishna. Om Agina Timirandusha Ginangina Salakaya Chaksurin Bhunitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vayin Maha. I've often been told how fortunate I am to have had association with Srila Prabhupada, even though my association with Srila Prabhupada was actually very limited. And sometimes I seem to detect some lamentation on behalf of people who say this to me, that they didn't get the opportunity to personally associate with Srila Prabhupada. I have one friend in New Zealand who is constantly lamenting. He's been lamenting since Srila Prabhupada left because he was offered to be initiated by Srila Prabhupada. And because at that time Srila Prabhupada was very sick, he didn't accept, he didn't want to burden Srila Prabhupada with the process of initiation at that time. And so he laments that that's the case, and he thinks he has missed out on a very wonderful opportunity and therefore is bereft. And I spent hours trying to convince him that this is actually not the case, and I pointed out to him that I go through my days and I maybe remember Srila Prabhupada, but most of the time I'm just getting on with my business. Whereas he is constantly feeling that, oh, I missed this opportunity to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and he's constantly lamenting. So he was actually much more conscious of Srila Prabhupada than I was. And so when I encounter this kind of mood among devotees, I've made it my business to try and point out how accessible Srila Prabhupada is and how the process of accessing Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mercy is not anything to do with physical association. I used to sit in front of Srila Prabhupada giving Bhagavatam class and sleep. You know, I'd be nodding. You know. Probably not the only one. So what is that? You know, Srila Prabhupada is personally there, someone who even great souls cannot understand who this personality is, who has and I'm there at his feet sleeping. So to think that the association and mercy of Srila Prabhupada is in some way dependent on the physical is a grave mistake and misunderstanding that that I try and speak against whenever I get the opportunity. But hearing today so many devotees saying the same thing has been very encouraging to me. That the devotees, it seems like we're all my generation and of Srila Prabhupada disciples are becoming more and more conscious as we are praised. And someone said to me recently that there was a Gurukul girl, and I was saying to her how fortunate she was. She'd been born into a family of devotees. She'd been raised as a devotee, and now she practically knew nothing but Krishna consciousness. And she said, "Oh, you're much more fortunate because you were initiated by Srila Prabhupada." And I'm not denying the great fortune that is implicit in that great fortune. But I've been thinking about that ever since. And it seems to... I just wanted to point out Srila Prabhupada's extreme emphasis on Vani and his almost dismissal of Vapu. We would be, when I was in the UK in my brahmachari early days, we would be, I was in Manchester, and Srila Prabhupada would come to London to visit, and we wouldn't be allowed to go. The temple president would say, no, you can't go. You have to go out and give out books, and he would go. But that was, we understood that that was actually what Prabhupada wanted. He didn't want that we all flock to his physical presence. And when we would flock to his physical presence, or when we got the great opportunity to be in his physical presence, as I said, sometimes you wouldn't appreciate that, because appreciation of Srila Prabhupada is based on your purity of heart, on your service attitude. So my own most extreme and intimate association with Srila Prabhupada was actually on book distribution. I remember I was outside Foyles in Tottenham Court Road in London, and I'd been all day giving out books. And I was just, I think they were the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. They had that picture of Srila Prabhupada holding the flower, smelling the flower. And I looked, I was just passing the book to somebody, and I looked at the picture just as I was, and Prabhupada just looked at me. Prabhupada was there in the picture looking at me. And because I was doing the books, I was serving with a desire to please Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, I had some ability to appreciate that. And Prabhupada would always, when he was giving Bhagavatam class, he would always look around the room and he would look at you. And he would look at you and his gaze would fix on you as an individual, and then he would gaze at somebody else. And when his gaze fixed on you, you felt like you'd been seen by the Supreme Lord himself. It was like someone had gazed directly at your soul and seen exactly the coverings that are laid thereupon. But when on that instant where I had that experience with the picture of Prabhupada, Prabhupada was just smiling at me and showering his kindness and his love on me. And that was my greatest experience of that, greater than being on his morning walks, greater than sitting in front of him in the Bhagavatam classes. So this is my own humble realization of this fact, that association and pleasing Srila Prabhupada and receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because after all, the only way that we can actually attain the mercy of Krishna is by receiving the mercy of the spiritual master. That is not based on Vapu. It's not based on the physical. There is a school now that is stressing very much on this point, that you have to have the physical. This is complete rubbish in my own experience. because I had the physical, and by having the physical, because of my own coverings, I didn't appreciate and I didn't take full advantage of that. It was only through service that I was able to appreciate and Srila Prabhupada's mercy in that way. So therefore, even though I don't want to in any way diminish my own, the only fortunate thing that has happened to me in this life, which was to receive Srila Prabhupada's kind glances and be able to trot along behind him on his morning walks and try and keep up and try and hear what was being said. And this was a great fortune on me and probably has saved me from, well, no, probably, definitely has saved me from the darkest regions of hell. But that mercy is equally available now. And I am still trying to take that mercy because I was very undeveloped when Prabhupada was here and when Prabhupada left us. Undeveloped in taking that mercy and serving Srila Prabhupada. So I'm still aspiring for that, and that mercy is available to us all. So that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki. I don't know what, maybe it's just me, but I don't know whether you've all noticed that the guys that give the garlands, they always wait until you sat down and in mid-sentence before they actually give it to you. Maybe we could get it together so we can give the garlands before the speaker begins to speak. That would be nice. Now we're going to ask one of the Transcendental Associates of Sri Sri Radha Madhav. They're eternally associated with Sri Mayapur Dham, Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, Sriman Pankajangri Prabhu. I was just looking at his face whilst I was saying that. I was just thinking, I hope I've got this right this time. But there's a little story that I like to tell about how difficult it is to tell the difference between Jnanavas and Pankajangri. And at one time, I was really, really determined because a few years back, I was in Australia and Pankajangri turned up there in Sydney. So we're talking away and, you know, half an hour at least, we were talking about different things. And then I looked at him and I said, so, how's Pankajangri? So, he said, I'm fine. He said, it's all right, don't be embarrassed, it happens all the time. So anyway, then a couple of years ago, I had to ring up the Pujari department. One of them answers. So I said, all right, wait a minute. Just so I know who I'm actually talking to. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Janani. Sorry, Pankajangri. So even they get confused. Anyway, when Prabhupada was here in 1976, there were a lot of things just developing. We had the Lotus building. We just began the construction under Prabhupada's instructions of the long building. But there were a lot of things, small things, that were annoying him. Sometimes the water didn't come on. Sometimes lights were left on. A few managerial things. So at one point, Prabhupada got really annoyed. And he was chastising the managers like anything. And then he said, only those two twins, he said, they are first class. He said, everything else is nonsense. But he said, let everybody know, just these two twins, there is no complaint. So I'll leave you in the hands of Pankajangri Prabhu.
Namam Vishnu Madaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamit Ete Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Prasharane Ne Vishesha Shandavari Vasari Sahari Ne Sipopada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada was very encouraging. So he would say, things to encourage his weak disciples to keep them here. So I'm one of those. We have heard different themes this morning, a lot of wonderful things about Srila Prabhupada and to encourage us in a way. The Vanuvapu was I was similar to Janaka Raj Prabhu. I was also a little laid back from appreciating the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, but that's something that develops in time. The love increases more and more as time goes on. My only regret was, if I could see Srila Prabhupada now, I could express how much I love him now than in those days. It was that relationship wasn't so deep, or not so personal, as far as I was concerned, because I was a little impersonalistic. But I thought, well, he's doing his job as the guru, the savior. I'm one of his customers. I'm being saved, and it was a little static relationship, kind of thing. But over the years, that relationship develops and deepens as the appreciation of who Srila Prabhupada in his own right actually is, that is the embodiment of compassion, and his heart is actually there in to redeem the conditioned souls under inspiration from his Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is how I remember Srila Prabhupada. Mostly he was grave personality, constantly thinking how to save the conditioned souls, how to spread Krishna consciousness. This seemed to be the strongest thing that we got from Srila Prabhupada. As speaking, you know, he would always, wherever he traveled in the world, he would be speaking to people, especially, you know, he'd be writing to presidents and of nations. He was a very big thinker, big plans. Prabhupada said, that was my problem, is I always thought too big. But he knew that if the leaders became Krishna conscious, and he said, we only need 20% of the leaders, then the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So, but he was working all levels. He was working on from the top, whatever he could. He especially liked the devotees to bring the leaders for society. He said, because what great men do, the common people will follow. And he's working also on the grassroots level. Srila Prabhupada had time for anyone. Anyone who came, who was there, Srila Prabhupada would give his lifetime for. So that is what, that is it, the main impression, that he had that mission of Lord Chaitanya, really imbibed that mission, that people have to have Krishna consciousness in this world, otherwise there is no, there's no hope. And thinking big, actually, when I the first impression I got from Srila Prabhupada was that he must be joking about how Krishna he'd been sent by his Guru Maharaj. I saw him in London for the first time, public place, how he was going to Krishna consciousness would take over the whole world, and how he had been sent by his Guru Maharaj. I thought he's joking. I really thought he was kidding, you know. And I was waiting for the punchline, but you know, but it never came. He was carrying on really serious and grave. I thought, wow, he's serious. So then I thought, then he must be mad. How could he expect to do such a thing? Old man, he had a couple of dozen followers there at that time, teenagers, more or less. I thought he must be mad to attempt such a thing. So when Prabhupada said, I always thought big, it didn't surprise me, because I... But that also attracted me. Then I should help him. That was my third impression. First I thought he was joking, then I thought he must be crazy, then I thought I got to help him. Here's the most magnanimous person on the planet at the time coming to deliver us, coming to help us out of this material mess that we're in. And I'm thinking I should help him. So, but Srila Prabhupada evoked that. Someone asked recently, how did you experience the, I forgot the question, how did you experience the love of Prabhupada or something like that? I couldn't really answer it. Later I could answer the question. I couldn't answer publicly, but later I told that person that Srila Prabhupada his personality, his demeanor was such like he was completely innocent, very naive, like a almost childlike, very naive. And you felt like you want to protect him, like he looked like very naive in the material world, because we know what a little bit of the material world is like. But Srila Prabhupada was like, he was transcendental to this material world, but he looked very vulnerable. That was from my opinion. Therefore, I thought he should be well protected, although he was actually a Calcutta man. He was very streetwise, Srila Prabhupada. Shamshunda gives a funny story that they're walking along, this is in America, with Prabhupada, and one drunk person veers across the road, comes straight towards Prabhupada, and devotees didn't know really what to do, and Prabhupada just stepped aside, picked up his cane, pop, fell on the floor, and Prabhupada walked on without saying a word. So he was a streetwise person also, but he had that demeanor of being very, very vulnerable. So we want to felt like we could do something for him, although he was actually doing everything for us. He was carrying everyone, all of us, but at the same time he was praising his disciples for doing so much to assist him that he couldn't have done anything without us, although it was just his own shakti, own energy that he was giving us, the devotees were able to reflect and do such wonderful things in those days. And I couldn't really see how that, well, at least the early devotees in the very beginning, they thought ISKCON wouldn't leave 26 Second Avenue. That was it, you know. He's going to have a storefront and chant Hare Krishna, and that was it. They didn't realize how ambitious Srila Prabhupada was, or his program is. And it hadn't have really affected me also. I couldn't really conceive. But now, because sometimes I leave, very infrequently I leave, but over the long period, different periods of time when you're leaving, you go back and you see how Krishna consciousness is actually infiltrating in society. Well, the temples are different. Some temples up, some temples are down. There's a new dynamic in ISKCON now that, you know, all the devotees are living outside, where it was reversed before. It was so extreme in the beginning. It was more or less, if you lived outside, you was in Maya. But now we see a reverse situation where most of the devotees are living outside. Hardly anyone's living inside, which is the natural way it should be, actually, inside the temple. Temples, as Prabhupada said, they're the base where people can come, the grihasthas can come see the standard of devotional life. And so they'll always be, they can come and know the standard of devotional service. So the devotees who are living in the temple should be a little ideal and strict. Sri Prabhupada said also there will be many splinter groups come from ISKCON. ISKCON will always be the standard. So we see all these things happening, but last time I left the country, India, and then I went, and I'd go to different places, and we'd have questions and answers, things like that, in public places. And this year I went, and I noticed that the questions of people are asking were different than before. They were asking, do you believe in karma, or what is a soul? But now they're asking intricate questions about karma, intricate questions about the soul. It means that this philosophy is becoming mainstream. It's just infiltrating now in mainstream, and we see a lot of devotees, first, second generation, third generation, they're in society, they're out there, they're professionals, and they're devotees. In fact, some relatives visited me, my family members, and one a nephew was very interested, and he said, it's uncanny, he said, my last work partner, he was a devotee of Krishna. And he used to tell me about Krishna sometimes. He said, and when he left, another man come and take his place. And he was also a devotee of Krishna. So it's uncanny, and they are devotee of Krishna. So people are being affected. The world is actually being affected by Krishna consciousness, and we can see it. I mean, in big ways also, especially in some of the countries of the world, the governments are recognizing. They observe Janmashtami in the House of Parliament, and in other countries like Hungary, they're actually assisting us in Krishna consciousness. I'm taking note because people are actually looking for something different. The people are the same in the world. Mostly the people are innocent. The people are nice. They're mostly innocent. but everyone's misled. Nobody knows what the meaning of life is. Nobody. There's no real substantial goal in life for anyone. That's the sad thing. A lot of people are nice and they're looking. So that's good that they're actually, they're actually concerned for something, but they just have no direction, and they can't agree on anything. Even the materialists, they can't agree, right? The scientists can't agree on certain things, and the politicians, every country, if it's not a dictatorship, they have so many political parties, right? At least two or three. So it means that they can't agree on how to run the place. It means no one can really agree, because there's no standard anywhere. There's no real standard. Because there's no common factor. The only common factor amongst the living entities is that they're the soul, and they're the eternal servants of God. That is uniform. But because that's missing, then people just don't know what to actually accept. So there's still a great need for Krishna consciousness to solidify. But it is happening, it's out there, it's going on. Prabhupada's legacy is taking place. It will happen that this movement will become as Prabhupada said, this movement will go down in history for having changed the world, for having changed the course of the world. And we actually see in the beginnings of that, we're only the first, first generation is here. So we're seeing that, and according to historians, they say that if a movement, a spiritual movement or religion, survives a decade after the demise of the founder, then it's set to be a major world religion. Well, we've seen four decades pass, and we see that ISKCON is flourishing more and more. And more big, the more devotees than there ever has been, more people chanting Hare Krishna than there was before in modern history, at least in the West. Now we see the Indians are even taking more greatly to Krishna consciousness, better understanding. We're recognized as in the UK, they were recognized as the spokesman for Hindus. The first Hindu school has opened in England, which the ISKCON is a faith partner. It means we were teaching the philosophy and the religion in that school. So we see this. It's Prabhupada's visions are actually being manifest. It's not long, right? It's only since 1965. It's not long. Things move. Things change. When I visited America, we went to the samadhi of Martin Luther King. And it was quite very, very sad, the whole presentation, for the great thing that he actually done. But it was only 40 years ago that the black Americans were practically slaves. They weren't considered. But now the president of America is black. Couldn't believe that 40 years ago. Couldn't believe it. Well, we couldn't believe what would be happening in Russia 20 years ago. Couldn't believe it nowadays, right? So things change. And things are changing. Prabhupada's legacy is there. It's out. It's working. And it's going on, increasing like anything. So all to the glory of the founder Acharya, Sivangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. And now for the second half of the show, we have His Grace Jananivas Prabhu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namasti Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishisha Sanyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Prabhupada ki. In the Krishna book, in the description of autumn, Srila Prabhupada writes that everyone is sleeping in the darkness of Kali Yuga, but when there is a great Acharya, by his calling only, everyone takes to the study of the Vedas to acquire such actual knowledge. So this was Srila Prabhupada. He was an Acharya. By his calling, he just simply attracted people. When Srila Prabhupada went, 1966, to America and began his movement, he began calling. We saw remarkable changes then. There was a sudden increase or a turning towards religion, searching for the truth. And there were many religious groups springing up, offshoots of Christianity, of Islam was becoming very popular. Different groups of Christianities, the Children of God, the Christian Scientists, so many actual groups of people were. Simply because of Prabhupada's presence, he just pushed the whole consciousness up of the world. And people became to inquire. Otherwise, how would we do that without having a higher consciousness? So this is the Acharya. He comes and he awakens. His calling awakens our calling. Actually, we want to love and be loved. And that love is with Krishna. This is what everybody is searching for. So we are calling for Krishna. So this is due to the presence of the great Acharya. He's awakening that real calling that we have within. Where is Krishna? He comes and awakens our calling for Krishna. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the story of when Haridasa's Thakur is, when he was punished by the Kazi, well, first they put him in the prison. So he started preaching to the prisoners. He said, stay where you are. And they said, what? We're in prison. We was expecting a blessing from this saint, Haridas. And he's saying, stay where you are. Stay in prison. And he said, no. He says, you're hearing me and I can see you're all absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Stay like that. Always stay in Krishna consciousness. But he was preaching. And he says that if by divine arrangement any person reaches the platform of pure devotion towards Krishna, certain realizations dawn upon him and he gradually becomes detached from material life, giving himself instead to the worship of the Supreme. So he was saying, if by divine arrangement one reaches the platform of pure devotional service. The divine arrangement means what? It means it's not our own arrangement. It's not our own plan that we make progress in spiritual life. There is actually an arrangement. This means there's someone there to make the arrangements. So that is the nature of the spiritual world and the nature of the acharyas when they are coming. Also in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that the activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are going on under the direct supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami, who happened to be 500 years ago. But Prabhupada says the activities of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are going on under his Rupa Goswami's direction. So this is the parampara that is guiding us. So there is a divine arrangement going on from the spiritual world to the material world. All those who become attracted to the great Acharya by his calling, they come under the protection of the Devi Prakriti, the divine nature. That is the Guru Parampara. This is the Acharya. Everybody takes to the study of the Vedas to acquire spiritual knowledge. This was the last thing that we could imagine when we were before Prabhupada came. Especially take to the study of a scripture that was out of our own religion, another completely different religion that really we thought our conception that we were brought up with was that Indians, they just worship idols. They're all idol worshippers there. There was no real conception. But suddenly, by the grace of an acharya, here we are, we're worshipping idols. So you used to be idols. But now in the church, sometimes you can get down on your knees and you offer some prayer to God. But there, when we met Prabhupada, then we are Ashtanga Dandabat Pranam with no top on your body, because this indicates servant when you pay obeisances without the cloth on, for the gents, not for the ladies. But here we are suddenly, Ashtanga Pranam before a statue. And a few years ago, he was just an idol. And if we had to bow down to God, we would get down on our knees. Not generally beyond that. So this is all by the calling of the Acharya. But it's interesting how Haridas Thakur says, if by divine arrangement any person reaches the platform of pure devotional towards Krishna, certain realizations dawn upon him, he gradually becomes detached from material life. He's reached the platform of pure devotional service and then he gradually becomes detached from material life. It seems like a contradiction. We think pure devotee, that means there's no attachments, you're completely pure. No, but it means the intention is pure. You understand your eternal relationship as the eternal servant of Krishna. And that is your goal. You're trying to achieve that. You're striving towards that. That is a pure devotee. With material attachments, because even at that point you've accepted Krishna and you're working towards surrendering to him, then gradually you become detached from all material life. So this is what Prabhupada was teaching. Bhavananda Prabhu was saying this morning. Here he is. Live long. He appeared. He was saying, you are not the body. It was the first thing we had. What does it mean? It's not just a sentence, which everybody knows, but it means that you know who you are. Otherwise, what is the meaning of, I am not this body? It means you know what you are. And this is what Prabhupada was actually telling us, what is our actual identity. He was awakening us through this. He was, by his calling, the chariot was calling and awakening us to our real identity. But the conditioning is so strong in this material world that we have so many attachments. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur met his Guru Maharaj, approached his Guru Maharaj, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, for initiation, He said you should give up your knowledge. Now, first of all, he ignored him. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why is he ignoring me? He completely ignored what everybody else is praising me. My morality, Naishtaka Brahmachari, greatest mathematician at the time. Anybody would come and challenge day or night, I would smash their philosophy into powder. This was my identity. My Guru Maharaj ignored all these qualities. And I was thinking, why is he ignoring me? He must be so renounced, otherwise he's got a big ego, big false ego. He said, then I understood the extent of my Guru Maharaj's realization. He said, I don't know that there has ever been such a purifying agent in the world as my Guru Maharaj at that time. And he told him, you give up your learning. Give up your so-called aristocracy. Just stay with me, that's all. He didn't consider his learning, which was Bhaktisiddhanta's identity, the greatest scholar, greatest Naistika Brahmachari, no one could defeat him, great moralist. Aristocrat, he used to hobnob with big people at that time. But Gaurakishore didn't see that. He ignored all that. And so Bhaktisiddhanta understood that this person is really, he understands me, he wants me. He doesn't want me, what I think I am. He completely ignored that. And told him to give it up. And stay with me. That's his instruction, just stay with me. And he also said, if you want things, it'll come with your preaching. He said, you don't have to worry about it. You want facility, you want buildings and temples, etc. You don't worry about it. It'll come with your preaching. He says, stay with me. I am with you. We are all behind you. It means the parampara. We're all behind you. Whatever you need will be supplied as you need. You just go out and preach fearlessly. You don't have to worry about anything. So he completely cut through all of his misidentifications of who he thought he was. So this is the spiritual master, Vichara. You are not this body. He cuts through all of that. Now he gives you your eternal identity. And he gives you service to Krishna. Not just speaking. He actually practically engages us in service. by cutting all of these attachments in this material world that we're identifying with. Gangamati Goswamini, great Vaishnavi, she was actually a princess. She went to Vrindavan. She wasn't interested. Her father was a huge, he had a kingdom. She went to Vrindavan and she wanted to take initiation from Haridas, who was a disciple of Gadadhara Pandit. He said, I don't think you'll be able to stay here. You're a queen, you're coming. You have to be very austere to live here. I don't think you'll be able to stay here in Vrindavan. But she became very austere. She put on a simple soiled cloth and chanted 64 rounds a day. She had another Mataji with her who was also chanting 64 rounds a day. And she was able to stay there Haridas became impressed that she's actually able to stay here. And then he said to her, he said, you can get initiation. But he said, you must give up your shyness and go and beg door to door your madhukari for your food. This is the greatest crest jewel of a woman, her shyness. Krishna praises it. The Shastras praise it. Yet her guru is saying, give up that shyness and go and beg. A woman shouldn't be begging. Go and beg. Give up your shyness. Why is asking to give up her shyness? It's the greatest quality of a woman. But the idea is that we identify with these qualities. We identify with the things that are not actually us, but are related to us, namely our body and our senses. We see the qualities of our senses, the qualities of the mind, and we identify them as being our qualities, but they're not our qualities. They're the qualities of the mind and senses. So this is what the acharyas are doing. They're cutting through this false identification and giving us our real identity. So, as Haridas was saying, that by that divine arrangement, you'll reach the platform of pure devotion. You won't reach it by yourself, but divine arrangement means the Guru Parampara, and you will be gradually become detached from material life. He said certain realizations will dawn upon him. What are those realizations that dawn upon a person? Those realizations are when he realizes his complete insignificance. This is our realization. We realize our helplessness, our worthlessness, our complete dependence on this material world and senses and body. We have no other shelter. When we realize our complete helplessness, that is our realization. If we don't realize that, it's going to be very difficult to make advancement in spiritual life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is praying that every one of my acts is fit to be attacked. I pray to those who look down upon me. Same thing. The Acharya is calling and looking down. I pray to those who look down upon me. If they deem it fit that I am able to follow in the footsteps of a Vaishnava, if they think it's okay, not if I think it's okay, if they deem it fit that I'm able to follow in the footsteps and the teachings of the Vaishnavas, maybe then they will impart fitness unto me. Their fitness. They may impart their fitness unto me. Not my fitness, not my knowledge, but not my ability. If they deem it's okay, then I can convey their message to the others who are completely foolish and ignorant like myself. So these are actual realizations that we should be getting. We're talking of Radha and Krishna and so many. First we understand our complete helplessness and worthlessness. So, as Prabhupada says, the great Acharya comes and by his calling, everyone will take to the study of the Vedas. So we do have a guardian angel. It's true. There is a guardian angel. We heard about the guardian angels. It is actually true. That is the parampara. That is the Acharya and the previous Acharyas. They're actually our guardian angels. And they are supplying what we need in Krishna consciousness. But as long as I identify myself with this mind and body and senses and their qualities, then I'll always be in this illusion, thinking they're my qualities. And thinking that I'm the doer. But so strong is this identification. Srila Prabhupada said, if you are anxious for your next breath, it is a material attachment. So that's how much the Acharyas really wanted to identify with our true identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is the position of the great Acharyas. They not only come and tell us of our real identity, the identity of Krishna, but they engage us in devotional service. This is the process, the abhideya. We have the principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, relationship and the process and the goal. Means to know Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. So practically, Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a movement of Abhideya. It's engaging everyone in devotional service. This is Govindaji. Everywhere around the world, we open in the morning, Govindam Hari Purusham. He's the deity of Abhideya, the process. And you see, whenever Prabhupada met anyone, people would come and visit him in his room. He would talk to them, get to know them. And he wouldn't just have a little chat and say goodbye. He would always try, what you are doing, sir, you kindly engage that in Krishna's service. Somehow or another, you would always get those people to make a commitment to do some service. So the Acharya is like that. He's establishing us in our eternal identity and actually giving us service to Krishna. And we see the activities of Krishna consciousness, and we're going out preaching, distributing books, telling people to chant Hare Krishna. We're engaging them in Krishna's service. So this is such a wonderful thing. Sambandha, gyan, it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of births to achieve. Bahunam jamnanti, Krishna says, after thousands of births of being a gyani, you're looking for the truth. Then you come to that point of understanding. Vasudeva sarvamiti, you understand that it's Krishna. Then he surrenders unto me, at that point, after thousands of births. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is telling this, after thousands of births of searching, Yanamam. You come to the point of accepting Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead. Prabhupada said, I'm telling you now, Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead. You surrender to him now. He said, and you'll jump over those thousands and thousands of births. Because I'm giving you the conclusion of what Krishna is telling you. You can take thousands of births. You're going to surrender to Krishna. If you hear me, and you accept that, and you surrender to Krishna, you jump thousands and thousands of births. So this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sambandha Gyan, you will learn that when you walk in the temple for the first time. You're not the body, you're the soul, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Can you help us clean these pots, Prabhu? You know how to clean the floor, you know how to hold the book bag? This is Abhideya. This is the first day in ISKCON temple. To come to Sambandha, it took thousands and thousands of births. You meet a pure devotee, you get that Sambandha first day and Abhideya. You get your service. Here is Krishna's service. So realization comes when you act as a servant of Krishna, not simply theoretical knowledge. So this is Prabhupada's greatness. He always knew how to engage people in devotional service. And one time he said, I'm racking my brains how to keep you all engaged in service. He said, actually, all I want you to do is sit down and chant Hare Krishna. But you can't do it. Therefore, I'm racking my brains to give you more and more service. So this is the wonderful nature of Srila Prabhupada. He was that acharya who by his calling called many, many fortunate persons to his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janardivas Prabhu. Janardivas was mentioning there about how the ladies have that quality of shyness. And due to that, I've been having problems getting any of them to volunteer to come up and speak. But I'd like to invite Mother Shyama Sundari. She joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement in South Africa in 1975. That was when apartheid, of course, was running full steam. She was the first young Indian girl to join the movement. And Srila Prabhupada also made his one and only visit to South Africa in 1975, around October time. So I hope that she'll bless us with a few stories and realizations from that.
Krishna Padaya, Krishna Pastaya, Bhutale, Srimati, Bhakti Vedanta, Swamiti Namine, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishesha Sanyavadi, Pastatadi Satarine. I don't feel qualified to talk in front of such exalted senior God brothers, but I feel I'll make an effort to share some memories. After Srila Prabhupada started preaching in America, UK, all over the world, he spoke to his disciples to start preaching in Africa. So the tip of Africa in the map is South Africa. So came to Nairobi and I came to South Africa. Now I was brought up in an apartheid regime where the whole country is very racist. If you got married to white men, they'd put you in prison. So devotees had to come from England. If any of the white boys wanted to get married, we only had like 6 devotees, 4 in Johannesburg, and like 2 in Durban. So I joined in Johannesburg, very, very racist, and it was in a white area. After getting association of Prabhupada when he was preaching in the University of Wits. Shortly after that, I moved in. I couldn't go on Harinam, I couldn't go on book distribution because every time the white police came around the temple, they had to say, I'm the maid. Well, I am Krishna's servant, but just they wanted to know what's an Indian girl doing in a white area. I couldn't even go on a japa walk. I had to just stay within the grounds of the temple compound. But when Prabhupada found out about this and all the other preaching reports, my husband Riddhidas was a book distributor on Tripurari Maharaj's party, worked for the BBT. Prabhupada sent him to South Africa to train our devotees how to do books. And he can also be a white and he can be a non-white. So Prabhupada sent letters explaining how we should try and open a preaching center in an Indian area. Because then it wouldn't be very difficult for any of the Indians, you know, young boys and girls to join. But it was very, very difficult. There was heavy riots going on. A lot of blacks were being killed in an African area. And also, we had a young devotee, Shudi Das, who was 17 years old. He was kicked out of the country because he was preaching. And then after Shudi, Pushta Krishna came. So we, a wealthy Indian life member donated his holiday home near the Indian Ocean. And from there, it was our base where we started our preaching center. And young boys and girls going to university on their way used to stop over. And like that, they'd come. We used to have like 40, 50 guests, just four devotees managing temples in different, you know, like Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban. Janakaraj was in South Africa too, preaching, and very young. It was very difficult. We had to undergo a lot of difficulties. They kept on, the police just came around temples looking for devotees from England. They had to always hide, like Parthasarathy, who is a guru and has taken sannyas now. They had to keep on hiding. Just a lot of difficulties. So Prabhupada really enjoyed his stay in South Africa. You see that famous picture of him opening the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto when the book was just recently published. And he used to have these eucalyptus twigs to brush his teeth. And he once asked for muri, but you can't get muri. So devotees gave him like this rice krispies, and he didn't really like the rice krispies because it wasn't like muri. He was preaching intensely throughout South Africa, mostly the Indian areas. When Prabhupada arrived at the airport, the whites just couldn't believe how everybody was offering obeisances to an Indian man. He also had a lot of difficulties trying to get a visa to come to South Africa. Also, Srila Prabhupada had a vision about this temple, which is now Shishi Radha Radhanath. We have a very, very, very big community of devotees, very dedicated devotees. So I joined within a period of 6 months. I had first initiation, my marriage was arranged. And in those days, in order to have Srila Prabhupada's association, you had to go where Srila Prabhupada was, because he was the only guru on the planet. So I came to India in 76, the old quarters in Bombay, which was on top of the rooftop. I used to clean Prabhupada's quarters. And his bed looked like he hardly ever slept in it because he was always up translating. But before Prabhupada goes, he used to go for his walk, he had to clean his room up. And the bathroom was like a brass bucket where you could actually see your face. And there was like Old Spice aftershave lotion in the bathroom. So we had to clean the bedroom quickly just before Prabhupada came. And Radha Rasa Bihari was under construction then. So I left South Africa and was based in India. Came to Mayapur in 77 and I had an opportunity. We found out from some of the cooks what Srila Prabhupada liked, so I brought some watermelon. But when I tried to offer it to Prabhupada, he had like 30 sannyasis in front of him, so I didn't dare walk in front of all of them to offer Prabhupada the garland and the melon. I gave it to a little girl and she offered it to Prabhupada instead. So I got my Brahmin here, and then Prabhupada used to got very sick, very, very ill. He couldn't even come down to personally give us Brahmin initiation, and some devotees were saying Prabhupada mentioned that he's sick on account of his disciples committing aparad in the dham. So we have to be very, very careful because in the West it's a different standard. You know, husband and wives being familiar, but it was mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, you know, just saying that he's very, very sick on account of disciples committing aparad. So, I received Brahmin. And then we're requested again to go to England. I've been based in England for the last 32 years, cooking Raj Boga, doing workshops, and bringing up 5 children, grandmother now. So I apologize. I'm not a public speaker. I just tried to say whatever I could. So thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, Banda Shama Sundari. We have about 10 minutes left before we go to the temple for the Damodar prayers. So I'm going to ask Bhavananda Prabhu to round us up by giving us a little overview of... We've heard a lot about the past, but we're also a transcendental movement that exists in all phases of time, past, present, and future. And there was one great project, of course, that Prabhupada left with us. He knew that he wouldn't be around physically to see it manifest. He deliberately left that as a task for all of us to do. That means, of course, the development of Sri Mayapur Dham, and especially the construction of the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. You're all here. Now you've probably seen a few changes, small changes, in the park area. We've started removing the fences. We've started constructing a park on the other side of the Panchatattva Temple. Some of the trees have also been removed. The rest of them will go in the next couple of months. And by January, we hope that we'll be able to start putting in the foundations for the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. At last! Haribo! This is something that it's our dream. If we can just get this temple up before we die, then our lives will be complete. At least that's the way that I feel. And I know that Bhavananda Prabhu and all the residents of Mayapur also. So I'd like to... I hate to preempt you, but I hope that you can say something about this wonderful project.
No Moody in South Africa. I could never go there. I have to have my Moody. Thank you, Mataji. That was a very enlightening, actually, talk. I never realized how difficult it was. Devotees are willing to undergo so many difficulties in order to serve Prabhupada. That's how this whole society is built, on austerity. That's austerity. Not starving yourself to death, but doing your service despite so many external difficulties which are thrust upon us by the tigress Maya. So thank you for all your work. And it's amazing. Prabhupada went to South Africa, apartheid gone. Prabhupada went to Russia, Soviet Union, finished. Everywhere he went, there was upheaval. We are not Bhajanandis. We are, like our Guru Maharaj, we want to follow in his footsteps. That means we become doers. We want to do things. We want to create things for Krishna, to engage all the living entities who are suffering in this cesspit of material existence, to offer them some relief from their suffering. So one of those projects is the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, Sri Mayapur Chandra Udaya Mandir, Chandra Udaya Mandir, the rising moon of Lord Chaitanya. This temple serves many purposes. One is to establish Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know that in India, he is recognized as a saint in most of India, but not recognized as who he is. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That's all right. That's all right. Gives me something to do with my hand. Thank you. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyanda. So this is what we want to show. In the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, which is its other name, it is being constructed to defeat the atheistic scientists. It's an immense project. An immense project which requires an immense amount of money. Fortunately, Prabhupada has a very sincere and humble disciple, Ambarish Prabhu, who has promised, I will give 30 million US. So that's nice, a nice start. He's also promised, anything that's left to be done, I will go out and collect. So that's also nice. You see, the humility. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur went from door to door collecting 1 rupee, 2 rupees. So he was a very aristocratic man, as Janani Bas said. Bhakti Siddhanta was coming in an aristocratic family. He was an aristocratic man, a magistrate. But he went door to door. So Ambarish Prabhu also, very humble, he's willing to go door to door. When he comes knocking at your door, all you big Bombay Wallahs, please open your checkbooks, open your bank accounts. The GBC has decided they want a gold dome, not the blue dome. I like the blue dome, but, you know, variety. Everyone has their own opinion. The only problem is the dome will be gold, real gold, but we've had to add $15 million to the budget. Anyway, what to do? So it's an immense building. You see these poles with flags on them. That's the footprint of the temple. So the temple will pretty much cover this entire park. Down practically next to the Bhajan Kutir and all the way to that, just some distance from that road that runs in front of, and from this row of Kadamba trees just in front of it, and they're right here, all the way to the back road. So it's an enormous building. The main kirtan hall will hold 10,000 people. It's 1 acre in size. The deity house is 125 feet long and 30 feet high. It will be very splendid, very gorgeous, very opulent, in the mood of Chaupati, but better. And it will be an enormous preaching attraction. Prabhupada told us when some of us were wanted to travel and preach. You know, we hear that a lot. Oh, I want to travel and preach. Prabhupada told this one devotee, no, you stay there. You stay there in Mayapur. You build this temple. The whole world will come here. You can preach to them then. Everyone in the world will come to Mayapur. So we're constructing a temple that we hope, of course, you can't please everyone. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their own taste. Although Prabhupada did say Bhavananda has the best taste. So with that confidence, we've gone ahead and designed this building, and we hope everyone is happy with it. And we hope that all of you will pray for us, that at least in this wretched body, I'm willing to stay in this body for as long as it takes to get the building up. Don't think it's a pleasure, even though I know it's very handsome and very attractive. But it's not pleasurable to stay in this wreck. I'm reaching that point now, deterioration stage. Janma Mritu Jaravyari, not pleasant. But anyway, we push on. We must build this temple, but we cannot build this temple without the blessing of our Acharya Dev Srila Prabhupada and without the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So we're begging you, please bless us, pray for us, that we can construct this building, that we can finish it in our lifetime, or at least finish it enough that no one else can change it. In the course of building things for Krishna, sometimes sacrifice has to be made. So I know there's been a great hoo-ha, we call it, say in America, hoo-ha, a great hoo-ha, a great brouhaha about the cutting of the trees. And it's a very unfortunate thing that it has to be done, but it has to be done in order to make room for this house, a beautiful house for Radha Madhava and the Panchatattva. I don't know how much longer any of us can stand, really, to see the Panchatattva sitting in a go-down, which is what that building is like. It's like a big go-down. I told Janani Bas, I'm going through all this trouble just so you can have a proper place to worship Radha Madhava. And he just, you know, he'll just breeze in and worship Radha Madhava, like, you know, like it's an everyday thing. He laughed. We're going through all this trouble. Please help us. Don't try to, if you have any question, if you have any concern, you can address me. I'm on Pam Ho, Bhavananda, ACBSP. I'm the only Bhavananda, I think, still in the movement. No one would dare give this name to any curse their disciple. But anyway, you write to me, I will respond to your concerns, but we cannot do it on our own. we must have the blessings and the good, what is the word, good feelings of the devotees. We can't fight the whole, we are fighting, all of us in ISKCON, the whole world. But we don't want to fight within our own ranks over a tree. You know, the tree must be sacrificed in order to make a greater thing. And no one is more attached to these trees than me. I planted them. I used to walk up and down on the road and chant to the buckwheat trees, hurry up, grow, 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 grow. Okay? I'm very impatient, as Hari Sori will testify. I'm a very impatient. I used to, why don't they grow? But they're only going to grow at their own pace. So anyway, now they're grown. Now they have to come down. It's a very heart-rendering. But there's a greater purpose being served. So you please bless us. And we will defeat the atheists, all of us. We will defeat the demonic scientists, all of us together. We will all gather every year in this beautiful kirtan hall in front of the deities of Panchatattva, the Guru Parampara, going back to the six Goswamis, life-size, and the Panchatattva, and Radha Madhava, and the Astashaki. We will all gather, and we will chant Hare Krishna, and everything will be glorious. And this is the heart of ISKCON. Mayapur is the heart of the international headquarters of ISKCON. So if the heart is healthy, then the whole body becomes prosperous. So we want to make this temple the heart of the international headquarters. This is Prabhupada's place of preaching. Mayapur is my place of preaching. Radha Madhava were his preaching deities that he took with him to so many pandals, and he settled them here because this is the preaching center of ISKCON. This is the center of ISKCON, the center, really, of the entire world. They may think Washington, they may think Moscow, they may think Beijing, the Chinese, the Russians, but we know that the center of the whole universe, why this world, is here in Sridham Mayapur. And this temple is being built to establish that fact. Prabhupada asked us in Calcutta, 1973, I'm wondering, should I name it Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir or Chaitanya Chandradoya Mandir? So Jai Bhataka Maharaj said Chaitanya Chandradoya. So because he said Chaitanya Chandradoya, I of course had to be opposite. I said Mayapur Chandradoya. Prabhupada said, why? I said, because we want to establish Mayapur as the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He said, yes, Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. Of course, he had already made up his mind. It's not that he made up his mind on my say-so. Mayapur is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a preaching Godhead. He is the preacher. He is the preaching aspect of Krishna and Radha, to teach everyone how to realize your true nature, how to go back to home, back to Godhead. So you please bless us. Of course, we pray every day to Prabhupada that he bless us. You requested us to build this temple, but it can only be built by your mercy. This is how I pray every day to Prabhupada. You asked me to build this temple since 1971 when he brought me to Bury Place. And at that time, by the way, he designed the temple. It went from the Lotus Building all the way through what is now the park to the front road. So this is where the original temple that Prabhupada planned was, and that's where we're building it. It just happens to be our ISKCON land. So I prayed to him, you have requested, but without your mercy, we can't fulfill your desire. So you have to, you have a desire, you've requested us to fulfill it, but you have to help us to fulfill it, because we're hopeless. Really, we're hopeless. We can't do anything unless we receive that intelligence coming from Prabhupada. Our society does not work by intellectual machination. It works by receiving divine inspiration from the previous acharyas, coming down from Lord Chaitanya himself, down through all of the Guru Parampara to the lotus feet of Prabhupada, and we beg for that dust from Prabhupada's lotus feet to inspire us to fulfill his desire. So that is the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, temple of the Vedic planetarium. Prabhupada said, Mayapur Chandra, Lord Chaitanya, is rising. The full moon of Lord Chaitanya is rising. May his divine rays bless the entire world. That is the philosophy, the love, and the beauty behind this building that we're constructing. It's not an ordinary building. It's an awesome task. It's very, it's a little scary. But we can do it if we all work together. So I thank you for that. But I'd like to finish with a nice story I've told before, but I think it's very appropriate on Prabhupada's disappearance day. Of course, we were with Prabhupada 24 hours a day, especially in the last days and weeks in Vrindavan. And I would always go into his room between, oh, say, 12 or 1 in the morning until 4 or 5. And Prabhupada's door was open. Anyone could come in any time and sit quietly and chant. But no one usually came at that hour because everyone was resting. So Prabhupada's bed was there, and there was a light behind it with a little lamp with a red cloth over it, so the light was very dim. And I was sitting at the foot of the bed in a chair. And Prabhupada's feet were here, and his head was there. And it was very quiet, and he said, then I heard his voice. He said, who is that? I said, it's Bhavananda, Prabhupada. He said, oh, Bhavananda, don't ever leave me. Stay with me forever. And I said, yes, Prabhupada. So that is his request, not only to me. That is his request to all of us. Whether we're big society or a small society, whether other groups and other gurus and other acharyas and other speakers and so many different philosophies and may be beckoning you, don't ever leave Prabhupada's lotus feet. Stay with him forever. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Bhavananda Prabhu, for that wonderful finale. So this brings to a close this portion of Prabhupada's disappearance day observation. Now in the temple room, they'll be offering the Damodar prayers, and after that, there'll be kirtan. So we'd like to thank you all for attending and making this a wonderful success. I think everybody can appreciate the quality of the stories and pastimes and realizations that have been delivered this morning and this afternoon. It's been very wonderful and inspiring for us all. And we hope, as Bhavananda said, that that will give us the motivation to go on time after time, lifetime after lifetime, kalpa after kalpa, always desiring to be in the transcendental service of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Prabhupada Disappearance Festival ki! Sri Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir ki! And I'll just end with one final comment. There is a letter from Srila Prabhupada. I think around the mid-1970s, where somebody was sending some money to Mayapur to develop the temple here, and Prabhupada wrote that, I'm paraphrasing, he wrote that the more money that you send for developing Mayapur, the more Lord Chaitanya will bless your yatra with success. So we have to understand this. The blood comes to the heart. The heart distributes it to the rest of the body. So if you want your yatra to be successful, then you help us build this Mayapur project. This is the project for all the Vaishnavs all around the world. If our heart is healthy, then ISKCON will become an unbelievable phenomena. As Srila Prabhupada said, eventually it will be the only religious movement in the world. And that's what we want. Srila Prabhupada ki!